Welcome to Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon. This is Pamela from Yosetti Ranch, and welcome to the show.
Yay!
Well, we're going to go over a couple real quick things. We are running a contest on the website right now for our forums, and Crystal Clark, which many of you heard her interview, has graciously donated the Who Are We Really 102 book for the winner of that contest. And all you have to do to enter is register in our forums. Let's see. Check out the website. We've got a lot of stuff going on there. I've been in the process of revamping the video pages. And then we have the new paradigm page, which a lot of stuff going on there. And see what else, Ramon?
We're now available on iTunes, so if you want to download the show and take it to go, you can now. And that comes with fries. Also, I want to welcome the 51st country we have, which is Turkey. Yay!
Wow, welcome Turkey.
Those with my hungry.
Ooh. Ooh. Also, check out our news. We're always trying to upload our news. So if you find any news, too, as well, that you think is worthy to share, no doom and gloom, please. Answers. We're looking for answers, not problems. And also, I want to mention that I don't know if you know, Pam, but you are the start of 5 weeks of very powerful women coming on.
Wow.
And you're starting that off. So I'll
Excellent.
Just run through the women that are coming through. Of course, we have Pam on now. Hillary Ramo. We have next after that, Crystal Clark. After that, we have Hazel Courtney and Sonia Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
So well, we didn't do that on purpose, but it just happened that way.
It is seems like the time for the divine feminine to step up. Thank you so much for including me in that group of women, and thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to connect with you guys and share with everybody who's listening.
Right. So, Pam, let's start with I think you wanted to explain to us the clearing process.
Yeah. Here at Yosetti Ranch, through our self-mastery process, one of the things that we really emphasize is clearing negative influences. So any meditation, energetic work, we're doing clearings here throughout the day, many times a day, and as a group and individually. And we start our classes with clearings. And so I'd love to start this conversation with a clearing to share with the listeners just to give them an idea of the process and also to allow everybody to tap into the energy and share our energy together and clear any negative influences that may, you know, enter into our field. So this process was created by James Gilliland through his teachings and his studies throughout his life. And it's kind of a guided meditation for us here on the phone. So if everybody would like to just settle into themselves, close your eyes, relax, pay attention to your breath, and really connect with yourself, moving the awareness from the mind into the heart, expanding from the heart and tapping into joy, bliss, love, and really get into a space of gratitude. And we welcome all entities in love and light. We speak to you all from Lord God of our beings, telling you all you're healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. Healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. You're filled and surrounded by the Christ light and the Christ love. And we ask the beautiful many to escort you to your perfect place. Go in peace. We also ask that any limiting thought forms, false mental concepts, attachments, cords, contracts, agreements, all be dissolved, healed and lifted into the nothingness. So be it.
So be it. Thank you very much.
That always makes you happy, Ramon. Me too. So a lot of times the energy that comes up through this process is just tapping right into our bliss space, into our hearts, into our joy, and it does lead generally to ecstatic laughter. no matter what you're facing. It's very powerful. And the more you do it, the more powerful it becomes. You'll find that you start doing that clearing process when you're moving into any space or any place or you don't like what you're feeling. Just do the clearing, and I think that many of you will find a profound sense of peace and empowerment through clearing negative influences. I really can't emphasize it enough.
So. I will attest to that, yes.
Yes, yeah. Agreed. I would actually like to share my little Pam stories.
Oh, okay.
So I have a nickname for you, and that's Barrier Breaker.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a reason why I mentioned that. Pam at ESETI teaches Spontaneous Qigong, and if any of you have ever taken a class with her, you know what I'm talking about. So you did one in Vermont. I've mentioned this on the show several times, but you did one in Vermont. And,
over there, actually, yeah.
Two, but I only went to one, unfortunately.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, so when I was there, you have this special thing where you're able to find a person's, and I've seen you do it to more than one person, so it goes a little beyond coincidence. Mm-hmm. You're able to put your hands on a person's body and then just, like, release whatever they're holding in. Like, I've seen you make grown men cry, including myself, and just you turn me into a yo-yo where I started crying and laughing and crying and laughing. And I just couldn't control it.
Yeah, actually, what I feel like I do rather than opening or healing something is intuitively sensing where people's blocks are, and just by placing my hands on that place. And sharing energy, it allows that person to do that opening themselves. It's more of a bringing an attention and awareness to that space. But I really firmly believe that everyone has their own openings and creates their own healings themselves. But a little push and a little energetic support helps that process along. And I really feel that is a gift of the divine feminine. It's a nurturing. Thank you for that.
So let's get into your background, because when I first got to ESETI, you were actually the first person I met, and then afterwards I met several other people, and they were like, oh, did you meet Pam yet? And then as soon as I started talking to them, they just mentioned, oh, Pam experienced this and Pam experienced that, and there's so many stories I heard from other people. I've heard a few from you, but let's start. How did you get on this path?
Well, I think that there, like many of us who are waking up and doing this work, a lot of these experiences started in childhood, but this reawakening that I went through when I came here to the ranch, and before I came here, that process was starting, but this really pushed me along. But, you know, we block a lot of those memories throughout our life. And later, when we start to step more into our awareness, we start to recall and remember experiences as a child. I know that for me, the first experience of my life is probably the most profound, the way it came full circle for me. I was 4 years old. It was in 1971, actually. And I was playing outside with some other children, and I was kind of a latchkey kid at the babysitter, and we were outside, and this, I'll call him a man, this physical person came up to us, and he had this energetic feeling that it was love, and it was really incredible. So we all went with him, and we sat down on some stairs, and he started communicating with us telepathically. And all my life, for 35 years since that experience, I couldn't remember what he was saying to us as children. And I'd written about it, I'd contemplated it, I'd thought about it throughout my life. And when I got here to the ranch, I did a transpersonal release session with James. And while we were doing that session, it was one of my questions that I asked. And in that moment that I asked the question, the memories came flooding in. I get really emotional when I talk about this. The memories came flooding in of what he shared with myself and these other children. And it was, when you're ready, I'll be there. And I had full recall of the feeling, the telepathic communication, the love, his aura around him I could see and feel. And it turns out it was Tassamara, who is a spiritual guide that James often works with. He's written about in his book. He often works with children, and I often wonder about the other children I was with during that time. But since that moment, the deep, deep awareness and understanding of that there is so much more to our experience, and this experience was transformational for me as a child. I know that right after it happened, I had memories of sitting there looking at the ants on the ground and understanding the connectivity of all life, that we're all connected, and the deep beauty of all life. I remember looking at my fingernail on my thumb and realizing at 4 years old that the entire universe existed in one cell of my fingernail. This expansive reality and consciousness just came rushing in, and those memories were there, but what he had shared with us, when that came back, it was like this door unlocked for me. And I think that's why that experience I set up for myself with Tassamara, because it was a validation for where I was at. It was a validation being here at the ranch. And I feel it right now. And really just understanding that we do have guidance. We do have support, and we are multidimensional beings, and they do come into our lives in a variety of ways, you know. I think that after that, I remember being a child at 6 or 7 after I moved to Oregon and really being deeply fascinated with religion. I'd come from a Catholic background. It seemed wrong to me. It seemed strange. It seemed dark. But I knew there was more, and even at that young age, I remember moving into these apartments, and a neighbor, I think they were Jehovah's Witness, probably, but wanting to go to church with them to see what that was about, and that, you know, I learned a lot, and I read the Bible from front to back by the time I was about 12 years old, just to understand, and it was interesting, because my mother was, at that time, an atheist, and she just couldn't understand where all this was coming from, you know. It was really something I was very fascinated with.
And what was your father?
He was Catholic, but I think his childhood experiences with Catholicism left him a little bit scarred around resistance to opening to spirit in that way, especially Jesus. The whole idea of communion and all of that was something that he really resisted. He was kind of a hippie. That's why we went out west. As a child, I had the opportunity, because he was a hippie, to really be in nature all the time and connect with nature, and an understanding of my connectedness with nature was sort of always there. And then, you know, we go through life. I had other experiences, you know, in my when I was in college. I got into college and I started having ringing in my ears, and I was having out of body experiences at night. I was literally out of body. I was looking around me, looking at myself lying in bed. I was totally lucid and able to put my arm through the wall and see the energetic. I knew that all matter wasn't solid. I could experience that. But this ringing in my ears, I couldn't hear in class because of the ringing was so loud during this time of out-of-body experiences. And I went to doctors. They told me I had tinnitus. And then I was listening to Art Bell later, I think it was 96 or so, and Albert Taylor was on the show, and he was talking about out-of-body experiences. And it really clicked. The out-of-body experiences had stopped at that time. I mean, it went on for about a year, and then it stopped. And then that listening to Albert Taylor on Art Bell opened up. It was a second sort of opening for me. And I had a lot of experiences from 96 to about 2000. I was listening to Art Bell every night. I owned a restaurant then, so I was able to set my own schedule and sort of take time, live according to my own natural time, explore myself a little bit more. And the information that was coming in was amazing. I kept journals from that time, actually, and I have journal notes of listening to James talk about Yosetti Ranch and notes about how I needed to get up there, you know, and I never did at that time. After that period of time when I was really having some opening experiences, I got into a career path, and I sort of turned my back on a lot of this and sort of stepped out of the light and wanted to be successful. And that yearning was still there, but I just felt like I had to go produce work. And it became a process where I sort of lost myself a little bit. And I started having some pretty intense pain experiences, back pain. I think this is very common with people who are light workers or etheric warriors, of having a very critical pain experience. And for me, it was severe back trauma. And I was hospitalized, and medications, all of that. But I started waking up again. I really wanted to heal, and I started having intense energetic openings. And it allowed me to get off of all these medications and really understand that I was creating this pain experience. It was a gift I gave myself in order to stop this pattern that I was in and to open up again to spirit and healing and awakening. And, you know, amazing things started to happen in my life when I had these experiences. Pain is a great teacher. I mean, it's just, there is something that we create for ourselves, because it is a matter of really repressing our true selves and fear, anxiety, all pain, anger, all of these things. They are in our bodies, and if we don't process that and we don't understand what it is, it creates a pain experience, and you have no choice but to pay attention to it. I started making organite at that point, and I started seeing chemtrails in the sky, and I took probably 2,000 photos of chemtrails, and that led me to the organite, and I started making it. And I remember specifically one experience. It was one of my first real batches of organite that I made, some beautiful cone-shaped pieces, and I was outside making it, and I just started seeing energy and feeling spirit again. I was so overwhelmed. I was crying with joy, with laughter. And I look up in the sky, and I saw a sylph, a sky elemental, and it was in the form of a thunderbird. And it pierced my heart. I actually have a picture of this thunderbird on my Facebook page. It just created the most tremendous opening for me. And I just continued to explore that. As I moved through that, though, it was very interesting. I think this is another common experience for people on this path, is psychic attacks when you start to wake up trying to distract you. I had a day, I remember, where I felt unity consciousness. I felt so much joy for no reason at all. I was just floating on air. I was seeing the energy. I was seeing everything as it was, and it was just tremendous. And I felt so unlimited. And that very night, I started experiencing the most intense psychic attacks. And it sounds kind of wild, but this is what happened. I was trying to sleep. I saw small, very small, probably 2 feet tall grays in my apartment, more on the etheric level, but physical enough to see them, and it terrified me, which was their purpose, you know, peering out from behind curtains, moving things. I thought I was going crazy, and throughout the night, things started happening. I heard my name shouted outside. I heard these terrible screaming animal noises. And then at about 2 in the morning, I looked outside and I saw an actual truck with a man in it, with a big silver sphere in the back of the truck. And he was sitting there looking right at me up at the apartment. And I don't know what that sphere was in the back of the truck, but I knew that energetically that they are very aware of monitoring this kind of energetic activity. I don't know who they were. I don't know what the device was, but I flipped out, and I actually got in touch with Don Croft of Etheric Warriors, etherecwarriors.com, and he's sort of a pioneer in the Wilhelm Reich Organite movement. And he does a lot of support work for people who are doing the gifting work. And I emailed him and his wife, who is an intuitive, she's empath, and they called me immediately, and we did what I would call now a clearing. And they saw what was going on, and they got other empaths online to help clear the space and provide some protection and sort of empower me to get through that terror that I was experiencing. And I'm just forever grateful to Carol and Don Croft for really helping me to step out of that fearful place during a psychic attack and realize that I have the power, I have the ability to protect myself and to hold my space and not tolerate that kind of etheric harassment. And, you know, from there, I really started connecting with Dieter Braun, who makes the Indian in the Machine, who does the song for James's As You Wish Talk radio show. And he talked to me a lot about the elementals, the sylphs. And, you know, I it was just a whole new world for me, and it was profound. I felt like I wanted to shout it out to the world, what was happening, but people thought I was really weird and really crazy at the time, and I had to reconcile that. That was a long process, you know, and through that process, I rediscovered, you know, in looking at the elementals, orbs, you know, and I went to a seminar at a bookstore in Portland, and there's a book about orbs, part of that, and a film that was made here at the ranch, and I had just bought a digital camera, and I went to this talk and saw the film, and I took my first orb pictures there.
Nice.
And they talked about the ranch, and I was like, wow, you know, I really want to get up there. And during this process, this period of exploration, I was envisioning a future for myself of being closer to nature. I'd actually drawn maps of the property I wanted to live on, where I could have my horses, I could have chickens, we could have a meditation center, you know, gardens, and yurts was a big thing for me, and I drew this whole map of this property. And then, you know, when I, during that time also, I was coming up to Glenwood, Washington, which is about 20 minutes away, and catering at Mount Adams Lodge, and just having a really nice feeling about the nature up here and the energy up here in this area. And when I finally found out how to get to the ranch, it was November, it was winter, and one of the people who worked for me at the time, I was working in catering, I drug her along with me. It was like 20 degrees at night, and we drove the road from Glenwood here to the ranch. James was in Mexico at the time, so the ranch was closed. Someone was staying here watching the gate, and we didn't even call or anything. We just showed up. And there's no one here. It was dark. It was a little foggy. And we went and sat down out in the field and started taking photographs. But the strangest part was on the way here, I was driving, and a light, a sphere of light followed us here. I saw it in the rearview mirror. I'd look back and not see it, but I'd see it in the rearview mirror. And I'm like, what is that? You know, so we stopped on this country road in the dark, got out of the car, and we saw the sphere of light over our car. Tried to take some pictures of it. It didn't show up very well on film, but I actually was terrified. I was really scared, and the person I was with was like, that's so cool. They weren't scared at all, and I'm the one who wanted to come have this experience, but I couldn't figure it out. And so we pushed on, and we got here. We went out in the field, and, you know, I was kind of shaken up a little bit, and we were the only ones here. And I had this really strange, it was my own fear sort of peeking up, but she was totally like, hey, this is fun. Started taking photographs, and so I yelled out, if you're real, then show me a pink one. And I took a picture, and I got, I've never gotten one pinker than this. It was fuchsia pink. It's a great photograph. I have that also on my Facebook page of the pinkest orb you've ever seen, and it was a series of photos. And I knew right then that I was in the right place. You know, we came back again the next night, had similar experiences. Then later in the year, by coincidence, Mount Adams Lodge had called me and said, hey, I just got a call from these people from Paranormal State, from A&E, and they wanted to know if we could cater an event at Yosemite Ranch. And I was like, wow, you know, and they didn't want to do it. And I said, I'll cater it. And so I got in touch with them, and we organized this event, and I came out here, and I catered the event, and I had life-changing experiences from that point on. That was in May, and, you know, I came here probably almost every weekend after that. I moved to a three-day work week. I really started feeling like, how am I supposed to continue in social consciousness after having all these experiences? I was still trying to spread the word. Everyone at work thought I was crazy, but I didn't care. I was just ready to go. I wanted people to know that there's so much more to our reality. And while I was up here during that experience, a lot of different things happened. But the most amazing thing to me was I took a meditation class here, and I still had chronic back pain at that point. Even though I was going through an awakening process, I couldn't stand for more than 15 minutes. You know, I was in a lot of pain. I learned how to kind of, I had sciatica, you know, it's kind of a mess. I looked like I was 10 years older than I am now, at least. And I took this class, and I had the biggest emotional opening of my life within about 15 minutes. I mean, I really, everything came out. I probably scared some people in the class, to be honest, but it was huge. I don't know what I'd do if somebody had that big of an opening. Actually, it was just huge, and I was crying, and I felt the anger coming out, and then on the other side of that was started being just joy and bliss and laughter, and the tears and the anger moved to laughter and bliss, and all of this energy came out of me that I'd been holding in. Ooh, getting emotional again. from that point on, I have not had any pain like what I had before. Every once in a while, when I get stressed or overly emotional, I'll feel it start to tickle, and that means I'm not paying attention to myself. I'm not really, I'm not practicing enough. I'm not expressing myself the way I need to, and it's sort of my signal. So that was a major healing experience for me. And after that, I had a sighting experience that changed my life.
This is my favorite story.
Yeah, I'd been seeing lots and lots of ships here, but I still had this little doubt in my mind of, is this satellites? Even though it didn't seem like it was possible, there was just this doubt. And I had been really fascinated with triangle ships. I really wanted to see one because that to me was, I just really wanted to see that. And so I told everybody that's what I wanted to experience. One night we were out by the fire. We were up late talking and looking at ships. And I said, I want to see a triangle ship. And they said, hey, well, we'll come with you. It was two of my employees from work and a couple of friends. And I walked out in the field, and I went to sit down in my chair and, look up, and I said, I want to see that triangle ship. And right then, one of my employees, Sean, said, there it is. And he pointed up, and at that moment, this enormous triangle moved right towards us and stopped over our heads. And I know this sounds unbelievable, but it's absolutely true. At first, some sort of a cloaking device was on, and I could see the stars through it. There are three points of light, sort of a bluish white light, one in the center, but I could see the stars through it, and then they turned off their cloaking device very low, very close, very large over our heads. We were all crying tears of joy, but this ship began to morph. It changed from a triangle to a square to a circle to a spiral to a line, back to a triangle, and then it looked sort of like this spinning Merkaba kind of light, changing pattern so fast my mind couldn't track with it. And this went on for several minutes. It was a huge download. I felt no fear. I felt joy. I felt a connection. I understood that this was a download. It was a message. We all experienced it together, but the biggest part for me is that I consciously created and asked for this experience. And I was given that opportunity to have direct contact with these beings. There were other people here on the property staying in different parts of the property in their tents who also saw this and got up in the morning and were running around telling everybody before I had spoken to them. Another couple was in an RV. Their power went out at 3 a.m. exactly. That's when the magic happens here at the ranch, is at around 3 a.m. But that experience continued to provide downloads and information as I could process it. So I understand deeply now that this light that we see, these sightings that we have, these experiences that we have, are contact experiences and downloads of consciousness. Light is consciousness. Light is energy and consciousness. And this is how they download information to us. And these geometric shapes were sacred geometry, and they told me a story, a message. And it was something I had to continue to explore and understand. And they were Andromedans. It was an Andromedan ship, which are part of all of our star family, but I have a specific connection in my immediate past life incarnation with the Andromedans, and I understood that they were here to let me know that I had important work to do, much as Tasmara had told me when I was a child that he would be here and I had a very important work to do, though he didn't tell me what it was. They kind of finished the story for me and helped me understand that my work was not only the healing and awakening of myself, but to be in service to others. And I don't share that story a lot. You know, with friends I do, but it's just beyond profound. And that download of information continues to this day. I've had so many experiences since then, but it was just amazing. I've never seen anything like that since, as far as visually and physically over my head. And it really changed me. After that, I went back, tried to go back to work, and I just realized this isn't going to work. I quit my job. It was a very high-profile job running one of the largest catering companies in Oregon, and they all thought I'd completely lost my mind. I didn't know what I was going to do, how it was going to work. I had a dream that night. I was with a friend in a hotel room. We went to a catering conference, and I dreamt James and standing in his kitchen, and balls that he was pointing to, these spheres of light rotating around the room. And I looked at one of these orbs, and it came at me and hit me in the chest. And I had the biggest bliss download ever of my life. And Angie was in the room with me and witnessed this experience and felt the energy from it. And she was a disbeliever, but she was transformed by just feeling that energy that came through. And from that point on, after that, James invited me to come live here at the ranch. And the story goes on from there. I ended up, you know, the practices that helped me heal myself, I ended up working with Sun here and helping him, assisting him and facilitating the classes. And, you know, it kind of goes on from there. It was, you know, there's just, I think we all have so many experiences in our life that, you know, seem like isolated, independent experiences, but we reach sort of this critical point, this critical mass where it clicks and they all fit together perfectly, and you realize that these are clues and synchronicities and experiences that we ourselves create, our higher self creates for us to return to more of a unity consciousness from separation. And I really truly believe we lay out this plan because I think we chose to come here and embody in this physical form to rediscover and reconnect with the divine, with source, and discover who we really are. And that kind of knowing through discovery is so profound and so much different than somebody telling you something is real. You know, experiencing it it creates a completely different level of understanding of ourselves to discover in your own way, you know. And I think that we all do that. And it's just a matter of tuning in our awareness enough to be able to feel these experiences and to recognize the synchronicities and to see how it all fits into our life path and our life work. I know that I didn't really know. I didn't feel that hopeful about the future. before all this started happening. I felt frightened. I felt fear. I felt a lot of anger. I felt very disconnected. I felt alone in a lot of ways before I had a reawakening process happen. And after you start to recognize all of these experiences that have been there all along, then the memories start flooding back in. I started going back through all my journals and realized I have known all of this stuff all along, and for whatever reason have blocked it from my consciousness. And you know, I wasn't quite ready, perhaps, to put it all together, but it's just the poetry and the beauty of it is just so amazing to me. And you know, now I just can't imagine being or living in any other way than I do right now. I've never been as happy as I am right now. I mean, sure, we all have challenges and we all have our ups and downs. But you know, I am continuing to discover, you know, who I am and what I'm capable of. And you know, I think that the most important thing for me in discovering myself is sharing with others, being of service to others, people here at the ranch and beyond, people in my life, to James, you know, to my spiritual family, which includes you guys and everybody here. You know, it's a process, it's a journey, and it's an amazing journey. And so I know a lot of people sometimes say, well, I don't feel like I belong here, I don't want to be here, I want to go back to the Pleiades or Andromeda. And I just think that's really missing something so amazing that we've chosen to do here, and the journey of it and the discovery of it. I know that through my contact and communication with some of these higher dimensional beings, they are in awe of our potential, our capabilities, and the fact that we've chosen to be here and do this work. We're very special, and we've chosen to be here for a very important reason. And I choose to embrace the earth and embrace being here now and embrace the beautiful nature and the process, the journey. And for me, when I reach a point where I'm feeling I'm struggling or disconnected, or and those times do come, you know, and that's when I do a clearing. But when those emotions come up, that's my cue to look within and figure out what is it within myself that I still need to uncover or discover or release or let go of. The challenges become sort of, and this sounds strange, but fun in a way. Because it helps you lead yourself through that, and then the feeling of moving past that and letting it go is just profound. And the more we do this work, and especially with the practices, it becomes easier and more graceful and less fearful. But it does take courage, and it does take commitment, you know, and it does take discipline in many ways. You know, the early experiences I had of reawakening were just so exciting and profound, and now it's more of a calm, peaceful, letting go feeling, you know, and that I feel like I'm closer to really living, and that's why all the challenges we're facing right now in the world, and as complicated as everything is, and as much as I sometimes get sucked into finding the truth and telling people the truth and sharing the news, you know, it's important to balance that out with an awareness that we are multidimensional beings, and we do exist in many dimensional levels, and this is the one we're conscious of right now. But you know, we got to transcend the matrix sometimes and realize why we're here and why this is happening and why we're co-creating this. Because you know, we're everyone's asking themselves now. They're waking up and they're saying, "Who are we really? And why are we here?" And that's exciting to me as much as. A lot of what's going on makes me sad at times. I still know, bigger picture, that this is part of a divine plan, and it's up to us to rise to the occasion, as James says, and really find out the role we play in this. And there's just so much beauty in that, and so much beauty in all of the people who are also on the path, and they're drawn together like magnets, you know, like moth to a flame. We're all finding each other, and the synchronicities and the similarities in our stories and in our experiences is just undeniable, that we're all choosing this. And I do believe that all of us coming together, we've all known each other before. we've all been connected in so many, we are all connected, but in specific soul groups to do specific types of work, because we all have different roles to play in this awakening process, you know?
Yeah. Pam, I wanted to ask you about, because with all the craziness that's going on the planet, I think one of the very important things for people is intuition.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that you do to either recognize your intuition or enhance your intuition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we all have an inherent ability to be empaths and to develop our intuition and our psychic abilities. It's certainly not my goal to be a psychic, but it's just inherent with the process. So part of what I do for my own self-healing and recognizing of my potential is practices, the spontaneous Yigong, Qigong, awareness meditation, and I've had the opportunity to study with some really amazing teachers, but I think the most important aspect for me is taking the time to be with myself in meditation, to quiet my mind, and to really understand what is within me, to connect with my higher self. And as the more that I do that, the more my intuitive abilities develop and sort of blossom and grow. And I think that it happens gradually for some and instantly for others. You know, it really depends on what you need. But being intuitive and being in awareness, you're naturally going to feel energy more. The Qigong helps to develop your sensitivity to energy within the body and understand how energy flows through the body, to understand how to expand your energy to connect with everything around us, all living things, nature, people, emotions, energies, even the unseen. I think that we all have this inherent ability, but women especially it's easier for them to move through some of the barriers that we create for ourselves, because we're naturally emotional beings, emotional creatures, and there are a lot of men like that as well, and I think everyone is intuitive, but women tend to open up a little bit faster in this time, I think. I know that for people who are really interested in exploring that a little bit more, Sifu Christopher Matsuo of Dragon Gate Sanctuary is coming out with a guidebook and a training program for empaths. It'll be a DVD and a book. And I respect his work so much. I respect his approach so very much. So I can't wait to see that as far as if you want to.
Yeah, we've been wanting to get him on the show, actually.
Okay, well, we'll see if Sun can coordinate that for you. But I haven't met Chris. Chris Matsuo is Suntuk's teacher. But we've been doing a lot of online meditations. I've watched his DVDs, and I've, you know, communicated with him a little bit. But I have so many transmissions in his work, and I know Sun is just very deeply grateful to him for what he's shared. And he's an amazing teacher. He's going to be coming here to the ranch this summer to teach, I think, 2 workshops. And so keep an eye out for that. That's going to be amazing. Another teacher that's changed my life is Sifu Jenny Lam, and I absolutely respect and admire her for her approach to these arts with a mind first to self-healing, you know, and then to really being in service and to develop our compassion and purify our hearts. But the presence, the awareness, the being here now, being in the moment is critical. Being in the moment and not focusing only on the future or the past, the only way to really break through these barriers is to cultivate your awareness of being in the moment and your awareness residing in the heart and being here now. It's a doorway for us. It's so easy to focus on the past and the future, and maybe there is some value in that in some ways, but to really break through a lot of these barriers, it's a cultivation of awareness. And spontaneous Yigong, actually, Yigong is mind mastery, and the spontaneous aspect is allowing yourself to to show yourself what you need. There's a spontaneous aspect to this that is very critical and important for the healing process and for cultivating awareness. But I by no means consider myself a teacher. I consider myself a facilitator. All of these arts are fairly new to me. I have a lot to share because I am a practitioner. I have had amazing experiences within myself and with others, seeing how profound and powerful these practices are. But I'm really careful now. I realize the more I know, the more I know nothing at all. And I really am careful now to just focus on the sharing aspect. Like I said, I don't consider myself a teacher or an expert in these arts, but I do know what has worked for me, and it's beyond profound. And I really think it's important to share these arts with others so that they can also create their own healing experiences. And then Khan, of course. I have a really good story about Khan and how he teaches. He's been here to the ranch several times. And I've just had incredible experiences in Khan's presence.
Just being around him.
He emanates compassion and love. And truth and wisdom, even with the language barrier there. And I mean, I could tell a million stories about the beings he's photographed here and, you know, the stories he's told. But one experience I haven't shared very much at all touched me on in a way that I'm still exploring it. And that was... we took Khan to the airport when he was going to leave, and I was sitting in the back of the car, and he was sitting in the front seat, and we were driving, and I was sitting in a space of the most intense gratitude. I was feeling so much love for him. Ooh, getting emotional. just gratitude, and I was meditating and working with that energy of gratitude and love, and suddenly, as I was going through that, I looked up at Khan, and he was holding a mudra, and no words were exchanged. Telepathically or through transmission, as I was meditating on these emotions, I was really kind of within myself exploring. I was going within, and I was so far within, I was just feeling my heart, and it was beautiful. But suddenly, through this transmission of energy, I started receiving information, holographic, I don't know how to explain it, but holographic information and sort of leading me through this way of expanding my energy beyond my body, beyond the vehicle we're in, beyond I was looking at the mountains and the trees and as we're driving down the Columbia River Valley in the gorge. And I wish I could find the proper words, but through this 45-minute journey, he showed me through transmission the connectivity that we all have with all that is and how to expand my energetic field and share my energy in order to receive. I don't think the words are doing this justice, but he does teach through transmission, and he showed me something so profound that we need to expand beyond ourselves, you know, and our bodies and our energetic experience and expand it to a much larger place and allow a sharing and exchange of energy to take place. And, you know, and maybe just through hearing that, even though I haven't used the right words to convey what happened here, but during people who are listening while you're meditating, imagine, you know, first centering in the heart and just expanding your heart energy to encompass all that is and just continue to work on that expansion and feeling and connecting with the energy all around us, and then you merge into that oneness. And for me, it happened in a moment because of his amazing ability to share through transmission.
I can definitely testify to that one, because that man...
I've
never met anybody like that, yeah.
Yeah, there are no words.
For me, I was fighting not to... because he was just clearing me out emotionally without even doing anything. And as I'm saying this to him, I'm having my wife translate. We're having coffee, and he's just sitting there smiling at me like, uh-huh, I know.
I know. You know, and after this was done, you know, we got to it, started getting into the city, you know, and then I kind of came back into my body, and I had tears flowing down my face. You know, he didn't even look back at me. I just felt him, and he was smiling. And he goes, "Oh, good energy." You know, and he chuckles. He starts laughing. And I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, good energy is right. I'm forever changed," you know. And I couldn't even find the words. And so I just, you know, I just had to just expand my gratitude to him for sharing that. But he's really humble, you know. He just wants to show us what we already are and what we're already capable of. And because he's reached such a level of mastery, he can do it through emanation. And that's an important thing I'd love to really touch on for people. Chris also said something. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Pam, we got about 10 minutes left in this first hour. And
okay.
I wanted to get our patent question in the first hour here.
Oh, yeah.
What is consciousness and how does it affect our reality?
Consciousness, well, for me, it is a realization that we are more than just this body and this personality, and it's a connecting with all that is. Consciousness is love, which is the source. I mean, for me, again, it's hard in words. I don't think I've ever really tried to explain that. It is love. It is awareness. It is a connection with all that is. And I think there's so much information in consciousness that we can all share and tap into together. As far as connecting with how we live, because it is awareness and it is love, it changes our lives because we're able to really, instead of seeing through this filter of perception that we've been conditioned into our whole lives, we're able to just wipe that clean and see this matrix reality for what it is, and that is energy. It is pure consciousness, pure awareness, which to me is the divine. It is the source, which we are a part of. We're reflections of the source. So I think it is becoming one with God, with the source. That's the best way I can describe it.
So how can our consciousness affect our reality? How do we create our own reality?
Well, we create it through obviously, the choices we make, which, where are those choices coming from? Are they coming from the mind, which to me is not consciousness? Consciousness does not reside in the mind. It's being ruled by the heart. And if you're connected with source in that way, and you're stepping into awareness, to me, which is consciousness, everything that you're doing and seeing in your life has to resonate that at that same frequency of truth. And so I think it's tapping into that automatically transforms our life into one of integrity, one of service, compassion. The other thing that happens is everything starts falling into place. Synchronicities start to happen. You're where you need to be when you need to be there. Your abundance starts to flow in your life. You become more simple in the things that bring you joy and bliss and, you know, and if you can stay in that space, you're walking around in your joy and bliss at all times, and you're letting go of the things that no longer serve you and that hold you back, and you're opening up to the possibilities, and you're able to take action, and really momentum happens, and you start changing your own life and the lives of others. And that's on this dimensional level. There's no telling how far this resonates on all the other dimensional levels, but I think that's the best I can do for an answer to a pretty deep question. But I do think that the best answers are the simplest ones, and I think that the best teachers, well, the teachers I've studied with, sometimes they'll come with a one-sentence answer that just answers it all, and somebody else can write an entire book that is less profound than one sentence from a good teacher. So, I don't know. I hope that answers the question.
I found that many times with me and Tom were discussing this a couple weeks ago on the show,
yeah.
where as far as teachers' informations, I find that the more simple the answer, the better they are. Like going back to Khan gives sometimes. If you don't understand, he gives too simple of an answer. Like he was saying, I remember he was saying, like, oh, spending, because he was telling us about his 21-day retreat in darkness, and he's like, oh, that's easy. I think getting up for 9 to 5 is very difficult. Me and my wife looked at each other like, you're crazy. But that just goes to show you where his mind is at.
And that's a good way to illustrate, you know, living to our purpose, living according to our purpose. You know, it is simple. If we can see past it and do it, it's much harder to deny your true self and your true purpose. You know, it takes a lot of courage. And I do think it comes down to is things are very simple. And if a good teacher is really understanding the truth about reality and consciousness, they understand it to the point where it is so simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And I'm grateful for teachers like that because it keeps you from getting led astray by overthinking, overcomplicating things, and really helps you understand that it is just living in alignment with the heart and with our true self that allows us to create the reality that we want to create in our life.
I was going to ask you, going through the, let me see how much time we have. Okay, cool. Going through the, practicing the Yigan myself and the Qigong and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the things I've noticed is that as I'm practicing, I'll get visions. And then, like, it will be a quick vision of how to do something different. So it's almost
those are your downloads.
Yeah, but it's almost like I'm starting to learn something, like someone's teaching me a new style or new something. I don't even know how to put words to it.
I do understand what you're saying. It is hard to find the words.
I think we need to start a telepathic radio show.
Yeah,
I think we've already started that show, Ramon. It's happening all over the world. Yeah.
So have you found it? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's our higher self coming in to show ourselves the way and give ourselves clue. It's good to not get too attached to these visions, but they're all important if they come in. And we do have this amazing way, if we listen, of teaching ourselves what we need to know to continue on this journey, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, we should wrap up the first hour with that. We will be continuing on for another hour in the archives, and I hope everybody pops over there and listens.
Yeah.
You can pop over to www.conscious-tv.com.
And ESETI is ESETI.org, and we'll put a link up to this interview and James's past interviews to Conscious TV on our website. So, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you in hour two.
So actually, if you scroll down all the way down on our homepage, we have a link to ESETI. Very interesting website, a lot of pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. Okay, well, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and wherever the imagination can go, the technology will follow.
Yay!
Woohoo! All right.